And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you'd like to call just a little bit later. This morning, though, I'm going to do something really risky. And what I'm thinking of is if my wife is asleep in bed and she cannot hear me, then no one's going to tell her what I said, or I can't be in big trouble. She's absolutely going to cringe at this, and this is probably not a good decision, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it anyway. This is probably one of the worst jokes that I've ever heard, but I'm going to tell it. One morning in a doctor's office, there were three older men sitting in the waiting room, each waiting their turn to visit with a doctor. And so you know how doctors are sometimes. They're running late or they're an hour and a half behind, so your 10 o'clock appointment doesn't take place till 11:30. You've never heard of that before, have you? Anyway, the 75-year-old man said to the other two men in the waiting room, he says, "I'm telling you right now, if the doctor can only help me with my constipation, I will be eternally grateful. I mean, it is a problem." And the 85-year-old man, he said, "Well, that's not my problem at all." He says, "My problem is I can't pass my water because of my prostate. And if he could help me correct that, I too would be eternally grateful." And then the 95-year-old man chimed in and said, "Boys, I do not have either one of those problems." He says, "At 6 o'clock every morning, I'm able to pass all my water, and I have the nicest, biggest bowel movement." He says, "My problem is I don't wake up till 10 o'clock. I know, that was horrible. Anyway, if you only knew the man that told me that joke and how much he laughed, that was like watching the Carol Burnett show when people were laughing. Just very funny. All right, I have in front of me a book called Get Well Naturally. No, you're not going to go into the bookstore and find this book because it was written in 1965. That makes it 52 years old. The lady that compiled it, her name is Linda Clark. And I always have a very great appreciation for people that they dig and search for the truth with a single focus. So to me, that's very interesting. And I've often been very, very enamored by people that are self-taught. You know, there's something powerful about having a single focus for your life and something that you have this natural God-given skill set for, and you aim for it. Well, that's sometimes what I see in books that are written by people that are not medical doctors, and Linda Clark is not. Now, to me, this is a really cute little book. It has a whole lot of topics in it. And it was a gift to me by, I'll call her, Miss Shirley. And so every time I pick it up, I think of her and her husband and their kindness by giving me this book. But what I want to do this morning is, chapter 30 is the chapter concerning constipation. And I realize a lot of this information I'm giving you is well over 60 years old. Some of it is well over 100 years old. And even though I'm going back to like an old school book, it's not like the most modern fancy, there may be some gems in here. And maybe I can just start off by saying constipation is absolutely one of the worst things to contend with for many reasons that go far beyond the misery that you go through by not having regular elimination of toxic waste. It's poison to the body. You cannot have constipation and have great health. It's impossible. So I'm going to read this little chapter by Linda Clark here. "I am told on good authority that in one southern city where retired people congregate every morning, many of them gather on a park or street benches to discuss their number one favorite subject, constipation. They worry aloud whether they have or have not had their daily trip to the bathroom. The topic almost becomes a fixation. I have news for them. Constipation can be so easily controlled that I am afraid they are going to have to find a new topic of conversation. First, I will tell you what the remedies are. Then I will give you the authorities and the reasons why they work." So just kind of Listen along with me here. Remedy number one. 1 cup of yogurt a day. In parenthesis, she has 1 glass of acidophilus buttermilk works for some people. Remedy number two. Black strap molasses. Begin with 1 teaspoon and work upward gently until you find the amount best for you. Of course, you want to rinse your mouth or brush your teeth afterwards because of the sugar content. Remedy number three, and this one's a good one, folks. Chew 1 tablespoon of flaxseed 3 or 4 times a day, or pulverize them fresh each day in your blender, or sprinkle a little electric nut grinding mill, or use a, I tell you what works, a coffee bean grinder works like a champ, or make it simple, just go to the store and buy flaxseed meal. She says you can sprinkle the ground flax seeds over salads, cereals, or in beverages. If you do add it to liquid, you got to drink it quickly before it gets too thick. That is true. Flax seeds are available at health and drug stores. A medical doctor by the name of Dr. Boris Sokolov, he wrote in a book, Middle Age is What You Make It. He tells of the famous scientist Machitnikov, who knows that healthy persons that had normal, regular bowel movements, they always maintained a good supply of a particular kind of friendly bacteria in their colon. These bacteria, Machitnikov named Lactobacillus acidophilus. Remember, what I'm reading is well over 100 years old, all right? Without reservation, says Dr. Sokolov, we may call this microbe friend. Since it protects the colon from hostile microbes, it fights them, it destroys them by a means of lactic acid, which it produces in abundance. A normal, healthy colon houses a number of these benign microbes, which do not allow any hostile or dangerous germ to gain the upper hand. But if for any reason our friend disappears from the colon, or it is decreased in numbers, the hostile germs immediately infiltrate the colon and constipation appears. Laxatives wash these friendly bacteria out of the colon, and if continued, the bacteria are nearly all lost. Constipation may then become chronic. Antibiotics also destroy helpful bacteria, according to Dr. Jesse D. Rising of the University of Kansas. Fortunately, these friendly bacteria never completely disappear from the colon. There are always a few remaining ready to come to the aid of the sufferer if given a chance. To increase them, Dr. Sokolov advises taking plenty of cultured milk. That might be called buttermilk, folks. Machitnikov found that the bacillus is necessary for the human health and preservation of youth and vitality. Inhabitants of the Caucasus Mountains and Bulgaria, who are peoples known for their vitality and their longevity, they consume soured or cultured milk containing this bacillus regularly. Yogurt is a cultured milk and encourages friendly bacteria. Europeans have eaten this type of food for centuries. Now, there is a famous medical journal called The Lancet, and the article is found in the February 2nd edition, 1957, and I'm quoting The Lancet. There is considerable evidence that for some complaints, i.e., gastroenteritis, colitis, constipation, biliary disorders, that's gallbladder, flatulence, that's passing gas, but listen to this, migraine headaches in people that have nervous fatigue. If you have nervous fatigue, you know it. But in The Lancet, it says cultured milks, and especially acidophilus milk, can be extremely valuable. John D. G. Davis, Ph.D., of London, says that yogurt is beneficial in reducing putrefaction in the intestinal tract and bowel function. Stomach rumbling and flatulence, as well as belching, are also remedied. I have known people who have tried everything to eliminate constipation by the use of yogurt. In the Journal of the American Medical Association for November the 11th, 1955, yes, that is 62 years ago, folks, in a couple of weeks, reports a study in which yogurt plus prune whip was given to 194 patients. Hey, folks, this is a legitimate medical study published in a medical journal called the Journal of the American Medical Association. Your doctor's probably already read this to you when you come in for constipation. So what they did was they took yogurt, and they probably pureed prunes, and they gave it to 194 patients. No laxatives were required for 95.8% of the patients. For most people, the added prunes were not even necessary. Plain yogurt was usually sufficient. I don't know how you interpret stats, folks, but 95.8% that took the yogurt with the prunes, they didn't even need laxatives. Do you know of any drug remedy that works that well without side effects? I mean, yes. I'm diverting from the section on constipation, but what a wonderful remedy Miralax is. It's made completely of antifreeze. Last time I checked, antifreeze is great to add to the radiator of your car. Or if your car has 150,000 miles, maybe you want to drain the old antifreeze and put some new in. Pretty simple. But do you really think that the human body and the digestive tract is really, really a radiator like a car? Do you want to put antifreeze in there? That's what Miralax is. Antifreeze. Dried antifreeze. Really? You want to put antifreeze in your body? That's the solution to fixing your constipation? Really? Most popular remedy of all time. Anyway, I digress. Yogurt or any of the cultured milks is made by adding the desired type of bacillus to milk and allowing it to incubate. Anyway, let me see if I can read this. All right. Since antibiotics kill the friendly bacteria, many doctors, if they prescribe an antibiotic, they also prescribe yogurt or the live bacillus in some form. What would that be, folks, today? Well, just about anybody that has a focus toward restoring their health has heard of a probiotic. Yeah. Those who are troubled with constipation or diarrhea, they buy the bottles and they take the contents on an empty stomach 1/2 hour before breakfast or before drinking hot liquids. They continue for as many days as necessary to produce the desired results. Part 2 of yogurt. Yogurt not only contains friendly bacteria, but the B vitamins necessary for smooth digestion. I don't know if you caught that, but B vitamins are necessary for smooth digestion. There is evidence that it helps you to manufacture some of your own B vitamins in your intestinal tract. Of course, this was written 62 years ago, but I can assure you, if you want B vitamins, you need the bacteria in your stomach to make them for you. These bacteria also supplies, the yogurt also supplies calcium, which is better assimilated in acid than in sweet milk, thus soothing the stomach and digestion. It has been used for nervous, spastic stomachs as well as more serious colitis. Let me read this one last thing to you and I'll wrap it up, okay? Then we'll go to the phone lines. This is what I want to read to you. Even though this information that I'm reading to you is well over 60 plus years old, some of it's 100 years old, Dr. Sokoloff, he recommends daily an intake of at least 100 billion bacilli. How many times have you heard a doctor say that? I mean, besides me, of course. That they want to take you to correct your constipation or your bowel issues, 100 billion. You don't walk in the health food store and even find that, usually. Anyway, Catherine Elwood, in a book called Feels Like a Million, or Feel Like a Million, writes, and I quote her, "The muscles of the intestinal tract may become flaccid and prolapsed if B-complex vitamins, especially B1, are not plentiful in the diet. These water-soluble vitamins are not stored, but they're lost in the urine and perspiration." So play it safe by including B vitamins. My entire point is, number one, if you want your bowels to move, you've got to have sufficient B vitamins. If you want to join me on the phone line this morning or on the radio, 903-586-5257. You are one persistent girl, aren't you?
Hello?
Or man. Yeah. Hello, hi. Yeah. Welcome
to
the program.
I was reaching over there to hurry up and get that radio turned off.
Oh, you did a good job, man.
Hey, good morning. So, I always love your program.
No, thank you very much.
The thing on my mind this morning has to do with I'm 73 years old. For years, I've lived on amlodipine, benazepril, 10/20, and that did a fine job of controlling my hypertension. But then, here recently, because of bilateral pitting edema in my lower extremities, around my ankles and all, getting up to three plus pitting edema, they stopped the amlodipine, and my blood pressure went up from the 120 stuff to the 148 to 150 systolic stuff. And so then I went back in, and they added some Lasix 20 every morning, KCL-10, put me on benazepril 40, and so that was without any amlodipine, but it took care of the edema, but the blood pressure went right back up to the 148, 150. So,
why does your doctor say you have high blood pressure?
Do I what now?
What does your doctor say when you ask him, why exactly do I have high blood pressure, doctor? What does he tell you?
Well, I guess I must have inherited it from my mother.
Okay.
But
is that the best they can do?
They've just always taken this approach of, you've got high blood pressure, we're going to treat it with this.
Are you taking any other drugs besides these blood pressure medications?
Yes. Yes, I have. Of a morning, I'm taking a Flomax, and I'm talking about, here I'm just going to talk about prescription stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
The Flomax.
No, I appreciate you being very open and honest with me. That means a lot to me.
And then I go in here and stand and look down at my pills.
<It's>, are there that many to look at?
Uh-oh, yes. I was a registered nurse for 35 years, and I used to be amazed at the vast array of pills that these people would show up with.
And now that's exactly yourself looking in the mirror, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, I used to think it's ridiculous to think that somebody takes 13 pills a day. Now I am that person.
Do you mean 13 unique prescriptions?
No. Okay. I'm talking. I use. I'm gonna dump this out in my hand. Okay, so here I am looking at lysine. that's not a prescription. That's to help my skin. But Lasix, like I mentioned, benazepril, KCL. There's a vitamin D3 in there, a coated aspirin. Okay, that's my morning deal.
Well, if I can, let me give you just some simple information. Hopefully, I can really help you this morning. I was listening to a lecture about 3 weeks ago, and the gentleman was from Loma Linda University, which I don't know. I've never been to Loma Linda, but supposedly he's an expert on longevity and healthcare. And what he said on the radio, well, I thought was very intriguing. He said they have been keeping very detailed records about the health of Americans since 1968, and I don't know the reason why, but we'll just say 1968. So basically, that's 50 years if you just wait another month, right?
Yeah.
So he said that there has not been one lick of improvement in longevity or outcome of health, even though we have all these drug regimens and all these surgical procedures and all the medical procedures that could be done. There is nothing that's improving the outcome. Now, I'm going to switch gears with something that's not scientific. It's just my observations. If I interview every person that walks in my door that's healthy or relatively healthy from 85 to 95, I'm just kind of choosing that 10-year block there, and I interview them and ask them about their drugs, it's always the same story. I don't have anybody that age is taking drugs or medications, ever. Well, with a rare exception. Some of those people might be on just a very low dose of a blood pressure medication, so I'll kind of, you know, throw that out there also. So does that kind of give you a clue? If you're going to make it to 95 years of age, if you're going to go from 73 and you're going to make it to 93, it ain't going to be because of what drugs do. Now, so there's a principle in here. Your arteries are too stiff. I don't care how you want to slice or dice it, but I'm just kind of calling it for what it is. And so all I'm after is we're trying to seek out the truth here. So I know that if you want your blood pressure to come down naturally, we've got to do something that's going to cause your arteries and your heart to be a little bit more spry, a little bit more supple, flexible, pliable. This is opposed to stiff, hard, rigid arteries. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've got to relax those arteries.
Yes, and one of the ways of doing that, and I'm not going to flesh these out perfectly unless you really want me to, then I will. There is a mineral called...
Hit me any way you want.
Thank you. Hey, you're giving me... Are you sure you're going to give me full permission? what you're looking at is you probably have a very, very significant zinc deficiency. Because where there's a lack of zinc, copper starts to build up. And you tell me, are copper pipes in your house, are those soft or are they hard? They're hard. Anyway, but you've got to start getting zinc into your body in sufficient amounts, because what zinc does is you put the good zinc in to push out the old oxidized cholesterol from 45 years of being a nurse, or 35. So what you're doing is you're using the good zinc to push out the bad old oxidized cholesterol. This is the only way you can take a person that has angina pectoris or chest pain and cure them. If you don't do it this way, then you're just merely going from one cardiologist to the next trying to find a drug, all the drugs, nitroglycerin they give for severe chest pain. But you've got to, this is a principle right here. Where there is a zinc deficiency, the arteries tend to become very stiff. It's just as simple as that. Now, number two, there is a substance that comes from polished brown rice. They take the rice bran, and from it, they've given a name to a substance that's found in God's creation of rice. It's called inositol hexaphosphate.
And
sometimes, well, I can tell you what it's called for short. It's just and this is just in all capital letters, IP6. That's what it's referred to. That's just short for inositol hexaphosphate. Wouldn't that be horrible for me to throw that out and you've got no way to figure out where to find it? But it's called IP6 for short.
And let me, I just wrote down, because I just caught up with you with my pencil.
It's okay.
Polished brown rice is where we were with that.
Well, yeah, but that's just where it comes from. I'm just telling you the source.
So
that's just my way of saying, hey, this comes from... I mean, you already know by listening to me, I'm probably the most biased person you're ever going to listen to. I'm totally biased.
Hey, okay.
Well, I am. I am completely biased against all those drugs you're on. I have no love for them. I have no desire to use them. But the only way that we get around this is we've got to get your body in better working order and better repair. And if you do, if you can follow those principles, then you will have no need for the drugs. And so... if you go to a pharmacist and say, I have a healthy 2-month-old baby, and I want to put him on Benazepril and Lasix and Flovax because I'm pretty sure my doctor would be all for that, and let's put him on a statin drug. No, you'd have a dead baby. There's no way around it. You talk about causing problems, because in every drug or every medicine, there's poison. It's as simple as that. I don't care. No one has to. Yeah, okay, if you're the top pharmacologist at UT Tyler, why don't you call me on the phone and tell me all the horrible side effects of cauliflower and broccoli and oranges and apples and avocados, and we keep going and going. No, nobody is rushed to the emergency room because of an overdose on avocados. I mean, maybe it's happened. I just haven't heard of it. Because, you know, God has given us the very thing that we need to heal ourselves. So IP6 is a nutritional substance that, for me, has proven to be very, very beneficial at helping to correct blood pressure problems. Okay?
Okay.
And now I'm going to switch gears because I want to cover a lot of information here.
Okay, let me throw in one thing. Oatmeal, the raw, real oatmeal, that's my... I call that my heart medicine. I eat it every morning. I have for years.
Well, I tell you this, you're going to come closer to that being medicine than anything else you're taking. Let thy medicine be thy food, and let thy food be thy medicine. That was Hippocrates' quote.
Okay.
You know, when I graduated from school, you know what they made me do? I did it willingly, though. It's to take the Hippocratic Oath. I will promise to first do no harm. I'll let you just kind of think about that statement in modern medicine. We'll go from there, but moving right along. But the IP6, that's going to help. There is a language that is extinct. It's called the Koine Greek. But this extinct Greek language is the very language that's chosen to write the New Testament of the Bible in. Isn't that interesting? A language that's no longer used is the very language that's... been used to write the New Testament. But in the Koine Greek, there is a word called chela. And chela literally is translated into the word claw. And so when you tell me claw, have you ever shook my hands before?
Shaking your hands?
Yeah.
No, sir.
Okay. Well, you would not say that I have a crushing, overbearing grip, because I don't try to crush people, but I have met plenty of men that was their sole duty in life, to crush you and make you drop to your knees. Has that ever happened to you before?
On a few occasions, yes.
But if you ever think of the talons of like a red-tailed hawk or like a bald eagle or a golden eagle, what are the chances of a rat or a rabbit escaping that grip once they've latched onto them? Zero. Well, it ain't going to happen. And I have read before that the grip of like a hawk is probably, I don't know, I'm probably making this up, it's probably 20 times stronger than mine on my very best day. I mean, you're not going to get out from the grip of an eagle if he grabs you, are you?
No.
And that's what that word means. It means the claw. So the word chelation, I don't know if you've ever heard the term chelation therapy.
Yes.
Okay, but that's where it comes from. It's almost like you've got a substance that's going to grab onto something. Now, in the example this morning, what if we could put something into your body that would be an eagle or a chelator, and what it would do is it would bind up and transport out something that could be damaging to you, and that could be old oxidized cholesterol. And to the best of my knowledge, that is the only form of cholesterol that can ever present a challenge or ever present a problem is if it's oxidized or rusted. And so if you go to your medical doctor, all you got to do is say, I like the lipid profile where you measure my cholesterol and triglycerides and LDL and HDL and VLDL, but I want you to measure oxidized cholesterol. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. Well, why not? Isn't it the most accurate? And it really is. It's got to be one of the most accurate lab tests, but I don't see it ordered because it doesn't fit the narrative. But anyway, IP6 is a chelator. Hawthorn is a chelator. Garlic is a chelator. And so you've got to create the right situation to make it easy for your body to heal itself. It's just simple as that. Principles, ideas are a million. There's a million ideas how to do this. I can't even mention all the blood pressure medications I've heard of. There's even been a few brand new ones here lately. I'm going, I've never heard of that one before. But these drugs that you're taking, they're not addressing these principles. Your arteries are stiff. Your heart has no choice. It has to work extra hard to push the blood through those stiff arteries. That's called more resistance. What I want is I want your arteries more relaxed, not more stiff.
No, that anyway, all leads to this enlarged heart business.
Yep, and so the... Well, what, really? if you took a dumbbell and lifted it with your right arm day after day after day doing curls, are you going to be shocked if your right biceps is just a little bit larger or more developed than your left?
No,
the answer is no, it wouldn't. And that's what exercise does. But your heart, the only recourse it has is to hypertrophy and to enlarge. And that's just a way of showing that there's great stress and strain on the heart. So what we want to do is we want to make it easy on the heart. So now I realize this recommendation is not going to be well received. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the general public, because currently I think I have about 10% compliance on a ketogenic diet. Very hard to get people to do it. The only people that are interested in doing it are the ones that are completely convinced their back's up or against the wall. So if somebody has diabetes and they're in complete denial and they're going blind and they're losing toes but they're still in denial and they just think there's going to be a new remedy, I'm telling you, you can't convince them. But a ketogenic diet is one way that you can completely reverse diabetes, and you can reverse stiffness of the arteries, and you can improve heart health. So just kind of tuck that away in your memory banks that you might want to look up ketogenic diet.
Got it written down with exclamation point.
And so if it were me, I'm just going to tell you what I would do. If I want my blood pressure to come down, I wouldn't eat a lick of grains to save my life. You want to eat cornbread?
You wouldn't look at what?
I wouldn't eat any grains at all.
Oh no. Okay.
I would just focus on meat and vegetables for about 2 or 3 weeks.
But even the oatmeal is not the thing for the morning.
No, I'm sorry. Okay, I know I'm going to sound like I'm double-minded here, but I was reading in the Guinness Book of World Records one day, and the oldest living family in the world are from Ireland, and I guess they have a large number of elderly people. But they have a habit of eating oatmeal every single day. And, you know, one thing that oatmeal has that's really good for you is silica. Silica is so important to longevity. I mean, you've just got to have silica to repair tissues. And I would say instant oatmeal would not qualify. It has to be the old-fashioned kind.
Old-fashioned.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. So I do not want to say that oatmeal's bad for you. Personally, I love oatmeal. I don't eat it enough, but I love it.
I put cinnamon in my oatmeal. Cinnamon.
Who do you think you are trying to help yourself like that?
Is cinnamon going to work okay?
Yeah, it's going to be better than okay, because ultimately what you're doing is you're trying to create a situation where your body removes plaque and debris from the lining of your arteries and your heart so it can breathe a sigh of relief and be relaxed and function at a really good high level.
Yeah. By the time I put my cinnamon, oatmeal, and raisins, I feel like I'm having a feast.
Well, you know what? That would, I mean, I'm on board with you on that. What would the world be like if all I had every day was just gruel to look at? It never varied from that. Do you know how good I am complaining if somebody serves me peas porridge hot 9 days old?
My wife looks at me every morning like, hey, I say, hey, let me show you how good this oatmeal is. She says, I don't know how in the world you do that.
Well, what does she eat?
She eats grits with some cheese and bacon and jalapenos stirred into it.
Hey, I was out of the state traveling last week. My son really wanted me to go eat breakfast with him, so I said, yeah, let's do it. And we went to, have you ever heard of Whole Foods?
Yes, I think I've heard that name.
They had a fabulous breakfast buffet, and of course, my son and I, we probably load up with everything that all the heart doctors say not to eat. We had scrambled eggs and fried eggs, and we had bacon, and they had 5 or 6 different types of sausage. They had chicken, apple sausage. I thought that was delicious. They had pork sausage. I thought that was good. They had Italian breakfast sausage. I thought that was great. They had 2 different types of bacon. Anyway, and we're not here to talk about that, but you know what I didn't eat? I didn't load up on sugar, but the one thing that nobody touched was cheese grits, but I had just a little serving of them.
Yeah, she gets the cheese and the bacon and
you know what this means? This means you married a Southern woman of grace, didn't you?
I did. Well,
isn't that what the word grits means? Girls raised in the South? That's what she is. She's grits. She's a girl raised in the South.
I'm glad to get with that one.
You haven't seen those T-shirts that says grits?
I remember the funny story about the guy who'd never had any grits, and the waitress was trying to get him to try some, and he said, "Well, bring me one. I'll try it."
You don't know what happened to me one time. I don't think they... Oh, they just took it... Well, we were at a Cracker Barrel. This is about 10 years ago. And my daughter, you know, they serve gravy. I never eat the gravy, and they serve grits. But my daughter said, "Dad, can I have your grits?" I said, "Of course." And what I did was I pushed the bowl of gravy toward her instead of the grits accidentally, and she took a spoonful of it. And they think I did that on purpose. Are you kidding? I don't do things like that on purpose. But it was worth the price of admission to see the look on her face. That was the same day that I offered my son $20 if he would drink the entire bottle of malt vinegar that was on the table, you know, because it was Friday, it was fish night.
Uh-huh.
And if I had a video of that, that's got to be one of the funniest things. You know how when you're trying to swallow something and it's making you sick and you're trying to get...
Mm-hmm.
But he won the $20, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, my granddaughter, we were cleaning fish, trout, and she was standing right by her dad. She said, "You give me $10, I'll swallow a fish eyeball." He said, "Okay." And she grabbed that eyeball, and down it went.
Well, listen, I really enjoyed the phone call this morning. We're going to give somebody else a chance, but thank you, and I wish you the very best. But this is all fixable. You're asking very reasonable questions.
Ketogenic diet. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. And if you dial up, it will... There you go. It's lighting up right now. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you doing, man?
I'm working. What can I tell you? Thanking God for the paycheck.
It's probably a big paycheck knowing you, because you're a very demanding individual.
Well, the first part probably not. The second part probably so.
I mean, you want a paycheck that's worthy of your skill set. That's what I meant to say.
I want one that's worthy of my skill set. Yeah, but you know what can I tell you? Hey, this is a really interesting situation. I have a young friend of mine who, 26 years old, the doctor just took him off on some psych drugs. We're dealing with anxiety attacks. He's not in the area, so I can't bring him to you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking his adrenals are like shot, like mine were at one time.
Totally, totally. I think that's a fair assessment.
What about adrenal complex?
Absolutely, yeah.
How he's about 167 pounds, 26 years old, has had some drug issues in the past. Is that... make any difference?
Yeah, it
with
does.
Any of the adrenal? Well, I mean, like taking adrenal complex or any of the natural stuff.
Without being overly personal, is he? Does he have his mindset that he wants to be restored?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's all. That's all you need. That's all it takes. You can't.
When
stop
I hear you talk about eating healthy, and I hear his breakfast in the morning, you've got to be sure and have the protein in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he gets his oatmeal, and so.
I would say that's a very, very good start. I would say, number one, if he can just go outside every day and just sit and just listen to the wind and just try to be calm and relaxed, and if he will start deep breathing exercises.
Okay.
I don't know that I've ever seen a person with anxiety breathe too deeply. It just doesn't happen. And of course, you know what I'm doing, Scott. I'm going backwards when people used to have terrible panic attacks. Well, what would a doctor have them do? Take your brown paper lunch sack out of your lunch box and put it over your face and start breathing in and out of it because you're trying to get the oxygen saturation up. I know we're talking about carbon dioxide, but it regulates that. So when somebody has anxiety, it really, really benefits them to breathe more deeply. And that's one thing that, like, walking around the block or walking briskly can help accomplish. If you will just tell yourself to relax your chest and your muscles where you can breathe more deeply. Yeah, I don't have people walking my door saying, "I have too much oxygen saturation of my healthy cells. What do I do to correct that?" I'm going, what?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So that's what he needs. The other thing that I would encourage you, and I'm just going to be overly simplistic here.
Cool, because you know I can't handle any more than that.
Well, why do you think I said that? No, I'm only
You're
joking.
So bad.
I know.
So bad.
You, well, I'm only bad around you.
Yeah, true. And that's okay.
But you know what? I've decided to repent. Please forgive me for my badness. I will be good boy now. All right. What you want to do is you want to convince your friend to start taking cod liver oil. Yes, that's going to make all the difference for him. That's going to be pure brain food. I mean,
okay,
he's not going to be cured in like one nanosecond, but if he applies this principle over time, if he goes to a store and he buys, and you do get what you pay for with high quality cod liver oil, if he starts taking, I'd probably take somewhere between 3 and 6 gel caps a day.
3 to 6 a day.
Yeah, how's that for a diabolical plot? We're going to flood his body with nutrients, so his nervous system.
Figure.
I know.
So, what about the adrenal complex? How many of those are you talking?
Well, you'd probably take about 2 at breakfast and maybe 1 at lunch, just to kind of start nudging his biochemistry toward a much better function and balance. Because if you can get the adrenals up and running over time, you can accomplish just about anything that you set your mind and your heart to. But if you don't get the adrenals in good working order, you're just going to flounder forever. The other thing that he's just absolutely going to have, you're going to have to find a natural source of B vitamins, and I'm just going to cut to the chase. And
you said B like boy or D like David?
B like boy, but that's my...
Okay.
But you're on to my next topic in just a second. So first things first, B vitamins are water-soluble. You could get those by consuming brewer's yeast or nutritional yeast. So if he can't stand the taste of it, there's always a capsule, but I can tell you what's going to happen. The moment that he starts taking B vitamins, he's probably going to be really, really gassy. Do I have to explain what that means? Really, really gassy?
I got
it. Okay, got it. Good.
Yeah.
I know you have never personally experienced that.
Never, ever. You've never given me anything that would ever do that.
Because what you have is you have an issue that when you start putting appropriate B vitamins in the body, that all of a sudden now the body can actually start excreting waste and detoxing and decharging and discharging, you know, vile poison. So a little bit of gas at first is going to be par for the course, but tell him not to lose heart if he sounds like a motorboat.
Not a problem.
When I say a motorboat, I almost meant a dragster with the accelerator. Oh, never mind. So
this is a family show.
Oh, that's right. We're not here to talk about drag racing or funny cars, are we? or Evel Knievel. So
there you go.
So he's going to need some natural B vitamins just to get that B vitamin substrate, because his nervous system, he'll start feeling calmer. The other thing that I might consider.
Uh-huh.
There's a Pacific Asian herb called kava. Kava can be really, really good when someone has had a tremendous amount of pain or emotional pain. And I'm not going to...
Lots of emotional pain in the last 2 months.
Oh, I believe it. Now, there is a remedy called Arnica Montana.
Yes.
And the dose you're looking for is called 200 CK. And I'm not going to go into huge details, but that to me has been extremely, extremely beneficial with emotional pain.
What is it, 200 CK?
That's it. You got it, buddy.
How many of those?
As much as he wants. He could take them throughout the day, but the thing of it is, he can't be shocked or surprised if he doesn't start feeling a little bit better.
Okay.
Because if we can get him into just a little bit better place, then he can start doing the... You know what this comes down to? It comes down to truth versus desire.
Got it.
And so if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, we have the story of Eve, and she saw the tree, and it was something to be desired. Even though the truth was, she wasn't supposed to partake of it. So we're constantly trying to evaluate what is really in my best interest, even though it may be painful. So... Yeah, with emotional pain, you're just going to have to deal with it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, we talk a lot, and we try to talk through.
But I would say, and this is the topic that you want to talk about, so we'll talk about what you want to talk about. It's fat-soluble vitamins. And so fat-soluble vitamins are everything from vitamin E to vitamin D, as in David, like you just mentioned a while ago.
Right.
Vitamin K. I always think that you can't go wrong by giving people the... I mean, you just never, ever want to underestimate what can happen to a human being when you give them the very things they need to function at a very, very high level. It's just
right.
Night and day.
So are we, like, talking dosages that are printed on the bottle?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right. Well, I know sometimes we talk about other things when we know that there's a little more urgent issue or whatever.
You
and
know,
that's why I'm asking.
And would you say he's a pretty honest guy?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
And but
he's hurt a lot.
Well, but he's being honest and telling you this is. I've done this and I've done that. Therefore, this is the way I feel.
Yeah, we have very open conversations.
I would say he's very, very honest then. I have a tremendous amount of respect for somebody that's honest.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
As opposed to Satan, I have no respect for him. He is dishonest.
Bingo.
Isn't he called the liar?
He is called the liar.
Or is he called the father of lies?
Yeah, you could say that.
So if he'll play with these ideas right here, but
okay.
I really think it's essential. He's got to get outside and breathe fresh air and oxygen.
Okay, and you said kava we can get in...
Well, kava, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was reading an article about NFL football players dealing with concussion, and there are, and I'm not trying to make a one-size-fit-all, but what you have here, for some people, if you give them kava, it really, really helps them with their pain. I'm not trying to say this is the complete, total enchilada on dealing with the issues. But they're
right.
All multifactorial. Do you really think that somebody that has severe depression is going to be well served by eating Slurpees and honey buns all day long? Of course not.
And see, the awesome thing about him is he does not do sugars. He's lost 100 pounds by choice.
Wow. Well, he's a head and shoulders above any other 22-year-old.
Yeah.
He's mature for his age. So.
In some ways, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I started to click on a sermon on the radio and listen to it the other day. It's called The Gospel of the Second Chance. That was a sermon title. I didn't listen to it, but, my goodness, don't we need second chances and thirds and fourths?
Amen.
I mean, I want them just for me, and I want them for you, and I want them for your friend.
Amen.
So, I'm really rooting for you. Thanks for calling on behalf of your buddy. Give him all my love. He can do this.
You betcha.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your help and
you're
for
welcome.
Everything that you do. I greatly appreciate you.
Oh, you're so welcome, man. You have a great day. And drive
you careful. You too. Thank you, and I'll see you in January.
Okay, sounds like a winner. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
All righty. The phone number at the station, if you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, is 903-586-5257. Thank you very much for your phone call. How can I help?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
I've been waiting for a very intelligent woman to call this morning. It's only been men up at this point, so thank you. You made my day.
I'm calling for my daughter. I'm very worried about her headache and her migraine. She has very severe migraine, and she just lay down, and she can't really study or move, and I don't know. I promised her yesterday to call you.
Well, how old is she?
She's now 23, and she's a student.
Are these migraine headaches, is this a new symptom that she has, or have these been going on for a long time?
Well, since she left home, I guess, she never had any health issue at home, but when she went as a student and maybe... too much computer or reading or worry and stress. She's extremely stressful young lady, and I think it has to do with this.
I can't help but think about the gentleman that called on his 22-year-old friend that's seeking help earlier, she hasn't, to the best of your knowledge. She hasn't had any head trauma where she slipped and fell on the ice and hit her head on the concrete or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Well, let's just kind of take this just very, very simply. This morning, I started off by reading an article about, and it was from 1955, about people that are suffering from constipation. But the observation that kind of caught my attention also is all the people that have suffered from migraine headaches that don't have them anymore just from taking probiotics. And so there are some migraine headaches. All I have to do is just correct the imbalance in the digestive tract. And so let me give you some very, very simple encouragement, and you just ask me any questions you want, all right?
Yes.
All right. If she is consuming a fair amount of sugar because she's in survival mode or she's living off coffee, I would ask her to make a concerted effort to back off that and just eat real food that God has made for you. The man called earlier talking about eating his old-fashioned oatmeal. That would work. But if I had to choose one food that I see more consistently that's the cause of all migraine headaches, it would definitely be wheat. So just consider that. I'm not trying to make it a panacea. The things that I see over and over and over again with migraines is a vitamin K2 deficiency. I also see magnesium come up over and over and over again. And the other issue is you're more prone to migraines when you're very, very low in B vitamins. And so if she were to start just taking vitamin K2 and maybe cod liver oil and magnesium and natural B vitamins, she may tell you, Mom, I don't have the migraine headaches anymore. Another technique that can be tried, and you're going to think I'm making this up, but can I just tell you a story real quick?
Yes.
I found this book at Half Price Books. It was written by a Frenchman. Do you know anything about French people?
Yes, I do.
And really, any first-hand experience, though? I'm joking. You're supposed to say wee-wee.
Okay. Wee-wee.
Oh, wow, that sounded good. Have you ever said wee-wee before? But this book, he talks about one of the things that he'll do at the start of a migraine headache is just rub a drop of lemon juice. And I realize this may sound crude, forgive me, but if you were to apply fresh lemon juice to the tip of a clean finger and rub it in your nostril and kind of snort it in the nose, that sounds real attractive for a college student, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think she should sit on the front row of her physics class and snort lemon juice during class. What is this? But I have seen that work many, many times.
Oh.
And so when I said vitamin K2, what I should have said also is vitamin D3. Now, I don't know where she's going to school. Is it in the south or is it up north?
It's north in Indiana.
Oh, well, there's no hope for her. That's a northern state. No, I'm joking about that. So she probably doesn't get a whole lot of sunlight.
No, it's very cold right now.
If she will just participate in taking extra vitamin D and extra vitamin K2 and magnesium and B vitamins and cod liver oil, let's see if we can't just practice the principle of strengthening and fortifying her brain and nervous system to where she can tolerate stress better. And so I would have her give up all wheat and just kind of stick to a meat and vegetable diet.
She eats pasta every day. She eats extremely poorly.
Now, does she like to eat French bread and French croissants?
Yes, she does.
You know that there's more people aged 100 and above in France than any other country in Europe. You didn't know that, did you?
Well, I'm sure it's because of the good wine.
You know what? I think today I'm motivated to start studying French people more to find out what is it about them. Anyway, but if she can improve her diet, then the migraine headaches can completely dissipate and go away, and she can be able to continue her studies and excel.
Yes.
What is her degree that she's going to aim for?
Well, she's in a law school. She's in Notre Dame. She wants to be a lawyer.
Like a patent lawyer? I'm joking. Well, good for her. She must be brilliant.
She's a very hard worker. She's very hard worker.
Oh, you've got to be extremely pleased with your daughter, right?
Yes, I am.
Well, if you will give her all my gentle encouragement, we've got to find a way where she can reach her full God-given potential, because I want her to be the greatest attorney or lawyer that has ever been.
Yes, she lost yesterday a day of studying, and she loves to study. And
can I tell you my connection to Notre Dame?
Sure.
My wife, not her grandfather, but her great-grandfather, he immigrated with his parents from Ireland. I think he was 5 years old. But he had a very uncanny, extraordinary ability to run very, very fast. So when he was 17 years of age, he set a national record for running a mile faster than anybody else in the nation. I think this was like 1917. And so he had a full scholarship to West Point. You ever heard of West Point?
Yes.
I would say that's a rather prestigious, you know, accomplishment to be a student and graduate of West Point.
But, yes.
But he did not make it past his freshman year.
Oh.
He was removed from the school for some unpardonable sin. You know what the sin was? As a freshman, he was tasked with ironing the dress uniforms for the dress ball for the officers in the upper class.
Oh.
So he had to iron them. And he thought it would be funny to, instead of ironing the pants with a crease down the front, he ironed the crease on the sides as a joke. And for that, they could not forgive him. So guess who was willing to take him into the fold after he was kicked out of West Point? Newt Rockne, who was a track coach at Notre Dame.
Oh.
Isn't that just great?
Yes, yes. It's a very nice story.
Well, you know what? We're going to have failures in life, right?
Yes.
And you know what? He did not allow that to be his final setback because he was kicked out of West Point. But then again, I probably would have done much, much worse with a practical joke than what he did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that wouldn't even make the news now, that a lower freshman played a joke on the upperclassman by ironing their uniform sideways. Anyway, never mind. Anyway, I have thoroughly enjoyed the conversation this morning. Blessings to your daughter. Tell her that I'll be thinking about her.
Thank you.
And these migraine headaches will be a thing of the past, but she's got to give up junk food and just eat real food.
I keep telling her that. She's kind of anorexic, so...
Well, and she needs zinc. She really does. Every case of anorexia, they need zinc to function properly.
Zinc, okay.
And I can tell you what, I want things to go really well for her. So we have to obey the laws of nutrition that God has set forth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Au revoir.
Au revoir, Dr. Morgan.
Oui, oui. That's about my French right there. If you want to call me on the radio, 903-586-5257. I'm going to start the call by saying bonjour. Bonjour.
Hi, oui, oui.
Hey, that was good French. How long have you been French? Your whole life, right?
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead. We only have a couple minutes.
Oh, okay. I took this test. It was like 7 tests to see your cardiovascular.
Yeah.
Stroke risk.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it came back saying hyperinflation suggests COPD.
They suggest COPD?
Uh-huh.
Well, you're a shallow breather. How can that be? No, I'm joking.
It's hyperinflation.
I think I would completely reject any prognosis that you're doomed for failure.
Okay.
Anyway, but how did they come to that conclusion?
It was a CT scan.
Well, did the doctors tell you to go ahead and get your life in order and check into hospice? Did they say that?
What was their
brilliant recommendations to correct all this?
There wasn't any, just a follow-up with the primary care physician.
Do you have any problems breathing at all?
I do. I'm short of breath, but I don't have wheezing or anything like that.
Are you a shallow breather?
I don't think so. I breathe deep because I try and get enough air.
All right. Well, we're in a quandary right here. What exactly would you like me to help you with?
What's good for my lungs?
Water.
Water.
Okay. You drink water?
Probably not enough.
Well, that's not me scolding you and telling you're a bad girl. Okay, yes, I will. Oh, you're a horrible person by not drinking enough water. Horrible. Now we've gotten beyond that. I would say apples are very good for the lungs. I'd say flax seeds very good for the lungs.
Okay.
I mean, I use a lot of lung tissue when I'm taking care of lung problems, but I would just encourage you to do one thing with 3 seconds we have left. Read up on breathing exercises. There's one called the Buteyko breathing exercises, and just study those and just take the test and see what happens.
Okay.
But anyway, call me next week and we'll pick it up where we left off, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you and appreciate you very much. Bye-bye.